I want to read to you because as I was driving in today, I did hear loud and clear, we got to talk about love. And on the 14th, this word came. I have loved you with an everlasting love. It is not the earthly love you already know about. It far surpasses those kinds of pleasures. Mine is all-inclusive. It will bring your spiritual life to a higher level. My love will not judge your actions or your reactions. My love gives grace when there is none. It gives hope. It brings peace. My love was given to you freely. He died on the cross. He lives in you. He is my all-inclusive love for you. Jesus is. My all-inclusive love for you. He is my all-inclusive love for you. Let my overwhelming love bring you to the victory with enthusiasm. You say, and how do I survive those that are my irritations? Anybody got a clue? Well, I put the grapes up there because that was to be one of the concepts of the church. You say, why the grapes? Well, because grapes are stuck together. Not because they want to, but because they grow that way. Some are underneath and they're never seen. Yet they still radiate and are full of love. Because it's the sun, the S-U-N, that shines on them to ripen them so that they will turn sweet. You and I have the S-O-N shining on us, so we will get to turn sweet. How many see some bitter corners inside once in a while? Okay, well, that part needs to be shining in the sun, S-O-N. So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to start at the last verse, verse 31, because you see, it's a letter. And it didn't have chapter and verse when he wrote it. Verse 31 says, but earnestly desire, because he's talking about all the gifts of the apostles, prophets, etc. But earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best, the higher gifts. And the choicest graces. I'm using the Amplified to push a couple of points in. And yet I will show you a still more excellent way. One that is better by far and the highest of them all. Love. The highest of them all. Love. 13 verse 1. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. I've seen people praying in the spirit. Their intention is to get attention. And they get it. It's not the right kind of attention, it's the wrong kind of attention. Because the focus is on how well they can pray in the Spirit. Is that of any value to God? Okay, thank you. Right. Verse 2. And if I have prophetic powers, that is the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge. And if I have sufficient faith so I can remove mountains, or move them, but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody. Now you say, why are you giving such a message? Well, because number one, he's the one that kind of pushed my buttons to awaken you and me. That all these gifts that you have from the Holy Spirit have to be motivated through love and manifesting through love. Now, when you see someone hurting, there is a love factor that motivates you. As you intercede, as you pray for that individual, as you lift them up before the Lord, that love factor will continue to permeate not only you, but the one that you're praying for, which we talked about earlier about blessing someone. But if their attitude and their hearts are not pure before God, and they will not receive what you are giving, you are the one that's going to get the gain. You're the one that's going to get the blessing. And you will feel it. And sometimes you say, well, you know, I've never known that kind of love. Well, you have if you look at the cross. I don't think Jesus had a great idea when he decided that he was going to obey his Father. I think he knew inside his heart that he wanted to just say to the Father, look, I know that you love me, and I'm willing to go through this unknowing of the fullness of it. How many know that you can sometimes have a picture of what you're about to face, but you know you can't turn it or change it? And you purpose to go forward by choice, even though you know it's going to be painful. I was talking to somebody this week, and they're facing surgery. Well, I don't know anybody who likes to have surgery. Do you guys know anybody that likes surgery? No, thank you. You know you're facing rehab. You know you're facing a lot of other things. But their response was, get it done as quickly as possible so it'll be behind me. Okay? Just the frustration of thinking about it is enough to what? Drive you nuts, yes. Yes. The irritation, just the unknowing that it's not done yet. What am I saying? Without love, you can't endure anything. Without the assurance that God is on your side, how other people go through is by sheer choice. And that is really quite painful. Verse 3. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned, or in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. So how important is love in your everyday walk? It's the most important ingredient that should be motivating you. Because of my fears of rejection, for years I manifested and produced and purposed to produce so that I just wouldn't get rejected one more time, because it was too painful not to. So I would sacrifice what I knew sometimes that I really didn't want to do, but because the pressure on the interior of the fears of rejection canceled everything out, and I performed just like with a smile, purpose to go forward, because I knew that's what I had to do. Was I doing it in love?
No. Did the others know I wasn't performing with love?
No.
Who was the one that was suffering? Yeah. How long do you think you can do that without it showing at some point? How many have tasted what I've just described? Put your hand way up. Thank you. Why am I saying that? It's because I'm trying to expose the fear and the lack of love that I lived in. And I can tell you that that was God's purpose for me. I know it now. But at the time that I was walking in it, I did not enjoy the trip. Now, why was I chosen to go through this type of hardship? Because God had a plan to make me into an instrument of grace and favor and love, and to give out what I knew I needed and planting it in seed form, just like you planted forgiveness. And you purpose to plant it in good soil. Will it always produce right away? No. Sometimes it's going to take a long time before it actually manifests back to you. But when you made the decision to have Jesus as Lord of your life, it is God's love in you, enduring you to press on and not to give in. How many of you have ever seen yourself feeling rejected when someone's correcting you? That was another major issue in my life. Every time someone would come with some form of adjustment, I perceived it as rejection. My perception was off center sometimes because I didn't understand God's kind of love, which was unconditional. That was way beyond my radar. Slowly, year after year after year, he would grind down my old patterns and lifestyles and recreate my hope and my grace that I would go forward and trust him to rebuild what I couldn't do, because I couldn't rebuild myself. But through the love that he gave me through different individuals, they weren't always the same ones. You know why? Because there are specialists that are going to be coming in your life. And those specialists are going to give you what they have that the other guy doesn't have. Just like that group of grapes. I can guarantee you, you take a section of grapes and you start biting into them one after another, and you'll find some are sweeter. Some are, a little more bitter. Some have an odd taste because they didn't get the sunshine. Yet they're on that vine. That's the church. You're going to find that in the church, there are going to be some specialists that you're going to find yourself very comfy with. But others are a little more abrasive, maybe quite touchy, because they've been wounded. Yours and my job is to love them where they're at, because if we try to make them perform, they're going to feel the same way they felt when they were a kid and got rejected. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
So what am I saying to you? How important is this God's love that's inside of you?
Very.
It's the absolute necessity for each one of us to go forward. Verse 4, love endures long and is patient and kind. Well, that's an example, but if I don't have it, how do I get to perform it? I ask for help. Holy Ghost, help! I can't love that one right now. I would like to break their necks.
Amen.
And you know what? The Holy Ghost doesn't run away on you. You know, a kick in the butt sometimes is the greatest thing that you could satisfy yourself and make them feel good. Why? They wouldn't change. All the yelling in the world would solve zero. My wife was upset the other day. And she saw something that she didn't like. And it was with one of our grandsons. And of course we brought him up. And she says, "Oh, I could have crushed him." And I say, "Ooh, you were that angry?" She says, "Yeah." She says, "I never treated him that way." And I says, "No, but somebody else did, because he still got that anger against the person who abused and accused, and that anger is now retaliating against his own children." And she says, "How does that work?" I says, "You spit in the wind and you get right back in your face. Don't judge, don't condemn, don't find fault." And he hasn't learned that yet. So what are you doing? You're doing the exact same thing. You need to give more love. "I don't have it." I said, "Jesus does." Why am I saying that to you? Because I'm not picking on my wife. I've lived it. I remember one time I got so angry with one of them because they would come in. They'd walk into the house. They'd drop all their clothes on the floor. And I said, "Oh my God, how am I going to survive this?" Because I would get upset. I would yell. And it would produce what?
Nothing.
Zero.
You feel that. That's when you pick up the clothes and you throw in the trash.
I've done that. I threw it right in the barrel. But it didn't hurt anybody but me because I had to go out and buy another one. Right, doesn't work, right?
You don't buy it.
Okay. Now, several years back, you probably already figured out who it is. They had to move back into our home, and we had to take care of them for 18 months. And I made a promise to the Holy Ghost. I didn't make the promise to the persons. I made a promise to the Holy Ghost. "Holy Spirit, I'm expecting a lot of help from you because I know that this yelling match is not going to happen this time. They're coming back in. There's three of them now. And we're going to take care of them." And I had my mom living with us. And there was a house full and there was a lot of things to do. And I said, "Lord, I will not speak one word of condemnation." So, who do you think did the work?
The Lord.
He used me.
That's right. The Lord.
Yeah. He motivated me to act in love towards this broken vessel that was even more broken. Okay? Surgery had to come to repair. And I promised myself that I would not say a word. And 18 months later, I was successful because of God's grace in me to pick up after them. Do the wash. Do whatever needed to be done. Why? I was learning submission. I was learning to purpose to love instead of crabbing. I was learning what I needed to learn because I can't teach somebody else unless I go through it first. Come on, I should have heard a couple of amens. Okay? Say, "I'm going to love to endure." Because love endures long. And is patient and kind. Love never is envious.
I don't think Victor's going to make it.
Love is never envious. Come on, guys. Love is never envious. It never boils over with jealousy. Is not boastful. Does not display itself haughtily. And I didn't know I had this submarine of a sin nature in me that was angry all the time at those who didn't do their share.
Amen.
Wow, that was a very low grade amen. I'm hitting you guys hard. How many of you know that you have expectations of this household to run smoothly? And it doesn't unless you decide to love them.
But Kim, you forgot.
We're not done. We're not done. We're not taking a break just yet.
Come on. Give us a little break.
Verse 5. No, 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 no. If I didn't get it, you can't have it either. Is it not conceited? It is not conceited. It is not arrogant. It is not inflated with pride. Ooh, you know what? I never knew that the foundation of all these demands was pride. I didn't know it. How did I learn it?
By a choice to let the Holy Ghost roll me over, and when I was done on one side, he'd roll me over on the other side. And then I began to purpose to love. And you know what? It's going to cost you to love. Yep. It's going to cost you every attitude you've ever had. I mean attitude.
It's going to cost you anger. You're not going to be able to deal with it. How can you do this without him? How do people do it without him? They don't. Love is not rude, does not act unbecomingly. God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evils done to it. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Whew! I did not enjoy that one. I mean, I was injured, and I should have had, and I... Do you hear I in there? And I don't know anybody who's alive that hasn't felt some of these things. I will park it there because I do believe that you've had your load. But I will tell you this. If you try to do this on your own, you're not going to succeed.
Amen.
You got to pull the act right once in a while. I'm telling you.
But remember now, this is a heart matter. It's what's inside of us. And we need to get rid of the fleshy heart and ask the Holy Ghost heart to be formed. You've had a vision.
Yes, maybe.
And when it's full of the Holy Ghost, your heart will not be demanding its own way. When it is full of him, you're going to be a different person and personality. But you're not going to be able to do it on your own. And I'm being honest. I had promised the Holy Ghost that I would last those 18 months. There were times that I would get into my car and I would be yelling. I'm not exaggerating, because I would wait to get in the car. Because I knew if I said it in the house, that I might blow up. Come on.
Yes.
Of course. Wait, you guys are not alive all of a sudden again. I'm not picking on you. I'm telling you how I did it. I did it with him. Energizing me when I didn't have any left. Filling me with grace and favor when I didn't want to give him. I wanted to give him a knuckle sandwich.
Amen.
Come on.
Some act right.
Yes! I could have used that sword. The only thing is, it doesn't solve anything. What does solve is the Holy Ghost. Before we answer any questions, I want you to close your eyes. It's important. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
What you're able to do is far greater than I've ever known. It is so far above.
It is so far above.
So far higher than my mind.
So far higher than my mind.
Or my expectations.
Or my expectations.
I'm asking you tonight.
I'm asking you.
On this third day of the feast.
On this third day of the feast.
That you will visit.
That you will visit.
That you will counsel.
That you will counsel.
That you will comfort and heal me.
That you will comfort me.
Of the old hurts. So that I don't rely on self-defense.
So that I don't rely on self-defense.
And self-satisfaction.
And self-satisfaction.
Which is where I lived.
Which is where I lived.
I'm not living there by choice anymore.
I'm not living there by choice anymore.
I'm asking for the help.
I'm asking for the help.
And the counsel.
And the counsel.
Of your spirit.
Of your spirit.
Because you've never given up on me yet.
Because you've never given up on me yet.
Continue to really transform me.
Continue to really transform me.
As you tabernacle within me.
As you tabernacle within me.
your full residence,
inside of me,
will change
my heart,
and it will bring it to life, with your anointing of love.
Your
and your dimension of love.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.